You know, as we get into the message today, maybe I'll share some of the decisions that I've made, some of the decisions that are really foolish and they were pretty dumb. And coming at this stage in my life, after 30 years, being 30, I've looked at those chapters and I'm like, how could I have been so foolish? How could I have been so, naive? And I wish I could erase those chapters in my life. So what we're going to do is I'll start sharing some stuff, and then, we'll just go, from the right, Bill, you can start sharing some, and we'll go through the room, and we'll share our, and that would be the message, that would be the message. We'll all share all the decisions that we've made that we're not really very proud of, and, coming at this time in our age, during this phase of our life, and how we really think that, how could I have been so foolish? You guys up for that? That would be the message. Because we'll all share, and then I'll read a verse, and we all can go. Everything will be done in 15 minutes, so you don't have to hear me for 35 minutes. How many of you are up for that? Well, the point is that we don't have to share that. We don't have to, share all the foolish decisions, all the naive things, dumb things that we have done, all the decisions that we've taken. But the point is this, that we all have made bad decisions. We all have made bad choices. We all have made decisions that we are not really proud of. And when we were maybe teenagers, young adults, and even as adults, we have made some decisions that we are not really proud of, that we just wish that if somehow I could have gone back in that time, if I could have taken magic markers and just wipe that off, and I never had to deal with that. But we all have made some bad decisions, and looking back now, we think, how could I have been so, what's the word? Okay, what's, stupid, foolish, dumb, naive, how could I have been? But now that we are older, most of us are older, but we run into people, and we see they're making the same kind of decisions that we had made. We see they're making the same kind of bad decisions, poor choices, and we see teenagers, we see husbands, wives, parents, young adults, children, they're making these poor decisions that we had made, and we just want to tell them, no, you don't want to go there, you don't want to travel in that road, you just don't want to walk in that path. And listen to me, I have been there, I know what you're going to get into, I know where you're going to end up in. You are really going down the road that you really don't want to travel. Believe me, I have been there, but this is what they say. They say the funny thing is that they say the same thing to you and me, you and I, the same thing that we say to the people, those who try to warn us, those who care about us, and they said, no, you don't want to go there. I have been there. I have made that same decision, and this is where I have ended up. And they say that these people that we run into, maybe our kids, maybe someone else's kids, maybe our friends, maybe people that we know, that we really care about, and they say the very same thing that we said. But it's 0% financing. How could it be wrong? Well, the bank is not stupid. I mean, they're offering 0% financing. It's 0% APR for 12 months. How could it be wrong getting that credit card for $15,000 and maxing it out? How could it be wrong? 0% APR. Or things like that. But I really need it. I really want it. I really want to do that. Or better, they say, but I love him. But I love her. And to which you really want to say, but sometimes you probably don't, you really want to say, so what? Because you see, they are making the same kind of decisions that you had made, and you know exactly where they're going to end up in. And sometimes, even I wonder, we look back in our life, or maybe right now in the current circumstances that we are, and you just wonder, is there a secret? Is there something that can help me foolproof my decisions? Is there a secret? Is there anything Is there a formula? Is there any way that I can foolproof all my decisions? You see, the reason we made those decisions, the decisions that we're not really proud of, the decisions that we really wish that we could go back in those chapters of our lives and take a magic marker and erase those things so that we don't have to remember, so those flashes, those memories will not, flashes of memories will not come back, will not haunt us, will not taunt us. And it's because our hearts deceive us. I did a little survey with a few people. Why do we make the decisions at that point of time, why did we make the decisions why did you make the decisions that you did at that point of time? Most people answered, because my heart, and I felt that was the right thing to do. You see, our heart deceives us when we are young. But now that, you know, most of us have grown up and our mature heart leads us, and as we have gotten older and we look back into those chapters of lives and we say, how could I have been so foolish and naive and stupid? And we wish that there was a secret, that there was a formula that we could have gone by, or if there was something, or even in our adult life, in our daily living, the decisions that we make, and sometimes those decisions come back and haunt us, and we wonder, is there a secret to making foolproof choices, foolproof decisions? Sometime back, I read 3 verses from the Bible that totally changed the way I started making decisions. See, I'm like you. I can talk myself into doing anything. I can talk so good that I can make a bad idea sound a very good idea. And by the time I'm done with sharing the idea, you will start to believe that it is really a good idea. But after I read these 3 verses really changed the way I make decisions. These verses are so powerful. They were so powerful that they offered me a brand new standard, a brand new grid, a brand new platform from which to make all my decisions, from which we can make decisions, choices that are really, really foolproof. Because our problem is not doing the wrong thing. Our problem is, how far can we go close to the line without crossing the line and not really do the wrong thing? Our problem is not sinning. Our problem is, how close can we get to the line before we cross it? But these 3 verses offer us a brand new grid, a brand new standard that doesn't deal with whether it's right or wrong. Right decision, wrong decision, moral decision, immoral decision. It doesn't deal with that. It gives us a perspective in how our Heavenly Father wants us to make decisions. These verses offer us a question that we all can ask in the face of our financial, career, moral, dating, parenting, marital decisions, all these different aspects and phases of our lives that we face as growing up from children to becoming adults. See, no one plans to mess up their lives. No one plans to make wrong decisions. No one. Now, Rochelle and I are going to have a baby. I'm not planning to control him so much and become a so much of control freak that he becomes so much dependent on us that he will have to spend a long time in counseling, and that he will be so dependent that he wouldn't be able to do anything. He will want to stay with us until he's 45 in our house. I'm not planning on that. No one goes to the altar when they're getting married and say, you know what? I'm getting married. Great. I'm going to have an affair in 6 months. I'm just going to, you know, get married and I'm going to mess up this marriage. I'm going to have an affair. No one plans for that. No one plans and, you know, accepts a job and say, you know what? I'm going to be so, you know, I would be so not practicing integrity that I'm going to mess up this whole job. The company I'm working for, they're going to have a very big financial crisis. I'm just planning for that. No one plans to have a disaster. None of us plans to have a disaster. Our problem is how close can we get to the line before crossing the line? The decisions that we make, those are the kind of decisions that we make. With the decisions that we are not proud of, that we really wish we could go back and change it, is those kinds of decisions that we really wanted to get close to the line without crossing the line, but we did, and there was a disaster. So let me break it down. Let me unpack it for you. I've been talking about these three verses that really change the way I make decisions, that really makes me think before I make decisions. It's Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read verse 15. But about Ephesians, for those of you who don't know, Ephesians, it is a letter. It was written by a guy named Paul. Paul was a Jewish person who received Christ, and his life changed, and then he started to preaching. He started to go all over the world, the known world of that time, and he started preaching. He started to, he started to write letters to instruct people. Ephesians was one of those kind of letters. He wrote it to the people in the city of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a city. It was a city, Roman city, Roman colony city, very prosperous city. And in this city, they had Jewish people, non-Jewish people, those who are called Gentiles. But Paul is writing to a group of people that became Christians, that became Christ followers of Christ, from Jewish background and non-Jewish background. And that's the kind of group of people he is writing this letter to. And in this letter, what he's doing, what he does, if you read chapter 1 through chapter 5, you will find that he's giving them some list of do's and don'ts. He's telling them, you then live this way because you are Christ followers. Don't do this, don't do that, but do this, do it this way. That's what he does. But the people of Ephesus, there was this. They had a temple. They had two temples, one to a god and a goddess. And what they had done, what otherwise might have been very immoral, they had made it moral in light of religion. They had temple prostitutes. In what, in other standard, would have been immoral, they had made it moral under the pretense of religion. So Paul writes to this group of people that is trying to live a Christian life in a setting, in a culture. Actually, I can say this, that it was a culture that was even worse than ours. It was more permissive, more promiscuous, and more pagan than our culture. And Paul is writing to a group of Christ followers in that kind of a culture setting. And this is what he says in chapter 5, verse 15, and we're going to throw it up on the screen for you. He says, be very careful. He says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Paul is saying to the Ephesians that be very careful then how you live. Basically, the word careful is don't live carelessly or don't live like I could care less, but live carefully. Meaning, he's saying watch out. Live the way you want to live. Watch out what you are doing. Watch out how you are conducting your life. Watch out how you are making your decisions. The decisions that you are making, watch out. Carefully make those decisions. Not as unwise, but as wise. Now the question might, what is unwise and what is wise? Paul brings that into light in the next verse. In the next verse, he says, this is what he says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Paul says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. It says, therefore, every opportunity, every time you have to make a decision, every time you have to make a choice, don't ask the question. He's not saying what is right, what is wrong, what is permissive, what is not permissive, what is moral, what is immoral. But ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? What is the right thing to do? Because the days are evil. Because we live in a time. And he was talking to a group of people that lived 2,000 years ago. And we are going, I'm going, when I read this, I'm like, I'm living in a time like that because the days are evil. We have more promiscuity, we have more permissiveness, permitting in our culture than it was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And so Paul is saying, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Meaning, careful, watch out how you live. And then he gives us how we should live. Not as unwise people, but as wise people. And then in 17 he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. The unwise would be to live foolishly. To live not understanding what God's will is. I want to unpack this a little bit for you because it says, but understand what the Lord's will is. You cannot command someone, you cannot just order someone to understand. Paul is saying, understand what the Lord's will is. I remember I had some great teachers, and I had some teachers that I really didn't like. There was this guy, and some of you might probably be able to relate with me on this. There was this math teacher. He always used to pick on some of the students. I was bad in math. I barely passed. But I think he derived great pleasure, and he was in 10th grade. I think he derived great pleasure in asking me to go and do a problem on the whiteboard. So he would say, he would pick me and say, Ahin, do the problem number 6. And here I have really hard problems. So I'm looking around and trying to see if any of my friends have problem number 6. And I, you know, and if I said, Mr. So-and-so, sir, I don't understand problem number 6. If my math teacher just looked at me and said, understand. Oh, yeah, great help, understand. I totally understand problem number 6. I'm going to do it now on the board. Because you commanded me, you ordered me to understand. Paul is saying, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Basically, what he is saying is not saying that he's commanding you to understand. Understand what the will of the Lord is. But he's saying, face up to, you know what the will of the Lord is. You know, because you have this. He has already explained and told you what his will is. So understand, face up to what the will of the Lord is. Don't hide behind your excuses about my upbringing, my, you know, how I was brought up, or you know, I this habit has been a 14-year habit. I cannot get rid of this. Don't hide behind your excuses. Because Paul is saying, live carefully. Not as unwise, but as wise. And understand what is the will of the Lord is. Face up to what the will of the Lord is. So the question is then, what is the wise thing to do? I'm going to break it down a little bit more. I'm going to unpack it for you. And what is the wise thing to do? The question then, whenever we are faced with the issue of making a decision, instead of asking what is moral, what is immoral, what is right, what is wrong, what is permissive, what is not permissive. Many people in this time that I've been a pastor, follower of Christ, many people have come to me and say, is there a verse against this in the Bible? I know. I smoke. Is there a verse against it in the Bible? I drink. Is there a verse against it in the Bible? I said, no. No. There's no direct verse in the Bible. But there are precepts. There are principles that God has given us. People are like, you know, how far I can go? How far I can go before crossing the line? It is not the question of what is moral, what is immoral, what is right, what is wrong, what is permissive, what is not permissive. It is the question, what is the wise thing to do? Let's repeat that together. What is the what?
Wise thing.
Okay, come on, once more. What is the what?
Wise
thing to do. So what is the wise thing to do? I think we have to ask this question, what is the wise thing to do in three levels in our lives? We need to ask this question. Just asking what is the wise thing to do does not make sense. We have to ask this question in three different levels in our life. And as you can see, I have three empty chairs here. And each of these chairs represents you. Each of you. Individually. Because you have sat in these chairs once in your lifetime, or you are sitting one of these chairs, or you will be sitting in one of these chairs. So you see, what is the wise thing to do? When we want to make a decision, we need to ask, what is the wise thing to do? And I think we have to ask these questions in three labels. In light of, you know, when we ask, what is the wise thing to do? Because Paul says in Ephesians 5, 15, 16, and 17, 15, he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise people. And I think when we want to ask the question, what is the wise thing to do in regard to making this decision, in regard to how I should conduct my marriage, how I should conduct my finances, how I should raise my kids, how I should, I'm a college student, how am I going to study, and I'm a school student, I'm a senior in school, you know, what am I going to do and after I graduate? All these questions, what is the wise thing to do? So, in three different levels of our lives, what is the wise thing to do in light of my past experience? We all need to ask ourselves, what is the wise thing to do in light of my past experience? Let me give an example. In light of my past experience in my finances, in regard to my finances. I did not conduct it wisely. I was unwise. I maxed out every credit card. I was a college student. I got all these credit card applications and I maxed out all 10 of those credit cards. Now I have a $40,000 debt. One example. Second example, dating relationship. You know, how am I dating? You know, am I dating like, you know, anyone that I can get to go out with? You know, how far is too far? As far as the other person wants to go, I want to go that far. In light of my past experience, what is the wise thing to do? You know, maybe you're in your point in your life and you're asking, you know, all these things that I've done in the past, all these financial decisions, relational decisions, career decision, and every decisions that I've made, I've made a fool out of myself. I've been naive. I've done stupid things. But right now I'm in a position in my life where I want to change. I want to do something with my life. I want to change. So you need to ask yourself, you and I need to ask ourselves, what is the wise thing to do in light of my past experience? What is the wise thing to do? The second level that we need to ask this question, what is the wise thing to do, is my present circumstances. In light of your past experience, in light of your present circumstances, where are you in regard to your present circumstances? Are you trying to get your family together? Are you trying to get your marriage together? Are you trying to get your finances right? Are you trying to become a better steward of what God has given you? Are you trying to be a better follower of Christ? So in light of your past experience and your present circumstances, what is the right thing to do? And the third level that we need to ask this question is, in light of my future hopes and dreams. I know we are a smaller group here, And if I say anything, it is possible that you might feel that I'm directly speaking to you. But in regard to future hopes and dreams, I want to make a very clear point to all the teenagers and unmarried people. If your future hope and dreams is this, that you want to be married to someone, you want to live with someone in a marriage relationship who treats you the way you would want them to treat, then be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. If your future hopes and dreams is you get married with someone who has not been promiscuous, then you need to live that way too. If your future, and now let me speak to all of us, if our future hopes and dreams is this, that we have a strong financial base, that we have a strong marriage, we have a strong, we raise good and God-fearing and good character kids. If that is our future hopes and dreams, then we need to be wise. Then we need to make our decisions with from a brand new standard, from a brand new grid, not trying to cross how far is too far, you know, how close can I get to the line without crossing the line, moral, immoral, right, wrong, permissive, not permissive. But we need to ask the question, and this is how I have been making my decisions. What is the wise thing to do? In light of my past experience, my dating, marital, financial, career, all kinds of every aspect and facets of my life, past experience, how my past experience has been. In light of my past experience, my present circumstances, what am I doing? What I am right now in my present circumstances. And then my future hopes and dreams, where do I want to be? Do I want to live a single, broke, lonely life? Or do I want to live a life that God intends for me? And I'm not saying that single life is not intended for you by God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the decisions that you make today, if you do not make them wisely in light of your past experiences, your present circumstances, and your future hopes and dreams, you will be living unwisely, not as wise. And I know this can be a hard teaching for some of us. And hearing this at this point, if you have already checked out this message, if there is something going on within you and it's saying, you know, who is he? He is talking like that. You can be mad at me, but there is something you just discovered about yourself. That you have been living unwisely. If my comments, my message today has already made you check out of this message, already made you feel uncomfortable, it was not my goal to make you uncomfortable. My goal was to help all of us live wisely. In light of your past experience, your present circumstances, and your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? That is the question we should be asking ourselves when we make a decision. You want to know the secret of making foolproof decisions? There it is. What is the wise thing to do in light of your past experience, present circumstances, and your future hopes and dreams? Because you know what? Our Heavenly Father does not want us to live like a fool. He doesn't want us to live, you know, go back and, you know, look back in our life and say, how could I be so stupid? How could I have been so naive? How could I have been so foolish? He wants us to live wisely. And that is why Proverbs chapter 28, 26 in the New American Standard Bible reads like this. And maybe we can repeat this so we'll get it in our mind. So when the time comes, we will not follow our heart, but we will follow what is the wise thing to do according to the Word of God. And this is what it says. It's not on the screen. I wish I could have New American Standard, and Rochelle, if you can put it up. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Okay, did you hear that? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Now, ready for the next part? This is what it says. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. I'm gonna do something here. I want all the teenagers and singles to say this part, okay? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Ready? Will you do that for me? Together? We'll do it together, okay? He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. I'm going to say it three times, and on the fourth time, we're going to do it together. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. The person that we have is here. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Okay, this is the last time I'm going to say it, and then we're going to say it together. I'm going to join you because I'm your pastor, so I have to do that. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Ready? 1, 2, 3. He that trusteth, come on, loud. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Okay, now the next part, I want all the married people to say. Okay, all the married people, all the couples here, I want to say. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. One more time. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But he who walks wisely will be delivered. You and I don't have to trudge through our lives always asking the question, is it moral, is it immoral? Is it permissive, is it not permissive? Is it right, is it wrong? All we need to ask, the brand new standard that God gives us, he says through Paul and throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, this is what God wants us to ask ourselves while making decisions, making choices about our lives. Because all of us, the choices that we make, they not only help or hurt ourselves, but it also helps and hurts others. The choices that I make, if I make unwise choices, it's going to hurt my wife, my son, and the other people, those who care about me, those who depend on me, it's going to hurt them too. And that's why God's word, our Heavenly Father wants us to use it, brand new, totally different standard when we make choices, when we make decisions. What is the wise thing to do in light of your past experience, your present circumstances, and your future hopes and dreams? All of us have sat in these chairs, past. All of us are sitting on this chair, present. And all of us will be sitting on that chair for future. And the only question that can make a difference in what we do is what is the wise thing to do in regard to making our decisions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that you love us. Lord, I pray that this morning, what we heard from your word, that it will really start changing us. That we will not try to hide behind what is right, what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral, what is permissive, what is not permissive. We wouldn't try to, you know, get as close to the line without crossing the line. Rather, Lord, we will make all our decisions, our choices, asking ourselves the question, what is the wise thing to do? The best question ever. What is the wise thing to do? I pray for people, those who are married here, people, those who the teenagers and young adults, everyone, Lord, everyone, I pray, that the, Lord, that they will ask themselves this question. What is the wise thing to do? And that they will make their choices, their decision, based on that. And that, Lord, we will start to use this new standard, this new grid, based on which we can make all our decisions. Because that is the way you want us to foolproof our decision-making process. What is the wise thing to do? Because the days are evil, and we need to be careful how we live. Not as unwise, but as wise. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.